You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We begin today with a personnel story. President Trump's proposed staffing of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors. The Senate Banking Committee voted today on two of the president's nominees. Economist Chris Waller, he's the current executive vice president and head of research at the St. Louis Fed, was approved easily. The other nominee, economist Judy Shelton, was approved with a much thinner margin, 13 to 12, straight party line. Both, of course, have to go to the full Senate for approval. But Shelton's controversial here for a couple of reasons. She has said the Federal Reserve ought to be much more closely aligned with the White House, an interesting point of view on a famously independent agency. And she has said she wants to put this economy back on the gold standard, which we got rid of almost 50 years ago. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reminds us why the gold standard is such a central banking hot potato.
This morning, I pulled out a $5 bill to pay for my coffee, and just below the Federal Reserve seal, it says, "This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private." What it doesn't say is, this piece of paper can be redeemed for $5 worth of U.S. government gold. Once upon a time, it could be, though. I asked University of Oklahoma economist Gary Hoover to give me the 30-second monetary history.
Initially, we actually printed gold coins.
But carrying around all those heavy coins was cumbersome, so the government decided,
okay, let's print out paper money, but they'll be redeemable for certain amounts of gold.
That lasted until World War I, when the government needed to borrow and print a lot of money to fund the war. Then there was a Great Depression, another world war, and the U.S. gradually went off the gold standard altogether.
And now we simply have paper dollars, which are the good faith of the United States government.
Now, every economist I talked to today dismissed out of hand the idea of the U.S. going back to the gold standard. But Scott Sumner at George Mason University's Mercatus Center says he does understand the appeal of the idea to cut the Fed out of its current role of controlling the money supply in the economy.
Keeping the value of money strong and, in some sense, removing the role of government from the monetary system. Those are things that attract people to the gold standard.
But he says in the face of a great recession or pandemic downturn, the Fed needs its current monetary tools.
The central bank, the Fed, can inject more dollars into the economy. Under a gold standard where dollars have to be backed for gold, there's much less ability to do that.
And without the ability to control how much the dollar is worth, the U.S. can't make its exports cheaper and more competitive, which is especially useful during a downturn. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The byword of this pandemic so far, well, there are probably a lot of bywords, actually. Pick your own. But the one I'm thinking of right now is adaptation. We are all adapting in one way or another to our changed circumstances. And for working parents, those circumstances include juggling childcare, homeschooling, because what's going to happen there is kind of up in the air, as you know, along with their full-time jobs. They're juggling all that stuff. So the parental adaptation, pandemic pods. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that one.
Taking care of twin 9-year-old girls has become almost a full-time job for DC photographer Delane Rouse. He could use a break, but he's not sending the kids back to school in the fall.
It doesn't matter how much you learn if you're not alive, right?
He started seeing similar concerns from other parents on Facebook.
And just thinking, how can we make this thing work, but maybe not having to be responsible for all the learning for 5 days a week?
So he's looking into a pod, the idea being that trusted households can safely gather. Along with a teacher, they'd hire and share the costs.
I'm a mathematics specialist that can provide 1.5 hour sessions to your pod.
Former math teacher Jeffrey Hahn posted that classified ad on his Brooklyn neighborhood forum yesterday. His base rate for pod teaching is $250 a session, and he's already getting interest. So is Mike Tang, who runs Swing Education, a company that matches substitute teachers to schools in California and several other states, and now hires them for private learning pods.
It ends up being priced in a range that's close to what private daycare or private childcare might look like.
Which, of course, raises concerns about equity. The pandemic has already widened disparities in our education system, says Matthew Kraft, a professor of economics and education at Brown.
I don't fault parents for trying to be creative, but Why can't we provide that type of opportunity for all students?
He says federal investments could help match newly graduated college students or educators who have lost work to provide pod-style tutoring for all families. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.